there on a visit to South Africa, I would like to take them on a tour of the Indian area and give them some Indian food. What would you suggest? So I said, you see, sir, at that time, I said, there is a Goodwill Lounge in the center of the town, but the only thing Indian about that is the curry powder they put into the curry. Otherwise, it is just like the Westerners restaurant, no difference. Only they put curry powder, makes it Indian. I said, why don't you come to my house? I will give you what we eat, and I'll play some music in the background, then I will take you to the mosque, and you can see the Muslim at prayer, and you'll complete your mental picture of the Indians in Durban. Well, says, Didak, it sounds good, but I'll have to consult my wife. That you must give them credit. They never do anything without consulting the wife. Next morning, he called me again. Says, Didak, my wife is agreeable, and he gives me £3. It was a lot of money in those days. £3. That was around the 50s. £3. I said, no, sir, it's quite a... He said, take it, Didak, we'll help you. And it was a great help. So, right, 8 o'clock, you come along. I'll be waiting for you. And my house is just stone's throw away from the mosque. So they came, six Jews, three pairs, husband and wife, Mr. and Mrs. Beer. That Jewish couple from Argentina, and Lee called Bullocks, I forget his name. Another couple, three pairs, men and women, they came. So, ahlan wa sahlan, they had the table laid out, and they enjoyed. I said, this is your unleavened bread of the Jews, our roti. This is unleavened bread means without yeast. And they enjoyed the curry, they enjoyed the rice, everything they enjoyed. And while we are eating, about finished, we hear the call of Salat, Disha, Salat. So I said, you hear, sir? I said, what is it? He said, it's a Muslim call to prayer. You know what he's saying, sir? He says, no, we hear, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. Say, Allah is the greatest, Allah is the greatest. Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. See, he repeats it four times. Allah is the greatest, Allah is the greatest. Listen, he's continuing. Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah. He says, I bear witness that there is no other object of worship but Allah. He repeats it twice. Follow that. Ashhadu anna Muhammadan Rasulullah. He said, I bear witness that Muhammad is the messenger of Allah. He is not God. He is not his son. Don't make a mistake like the others have done. They have made the heroes into gods. They made the prophets into gods. We are one. Don't you do that. Muhammad is only a messenger. If you accept these two fundamentals, that there is but one God and Muhammad is his messenger. What is the message? He continues. Hayya ala salat, this has come to prayer. Hayya ala salat, this has come to prayer. He continues. Hayya ala al-falah, this has come to success. Hayya ala al-falah, this has come to success. Because this is a real success. That you remind yourselves about your duties and obligations towards your Creator and your duties and obligations towards your fellow human beings. If you want to be successful, there is no other way. Now he winds up the call by saying, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. Allah is the greatest. Allah is still the greatest. Whether you come or you do not come, you will not lower him in his exaltation, in his majesty, in his glory, he still remains supreme. And the final words of warning is, La ilaha illallah. There is no other object of worship but Allah. You can carry on worshipping your man gods, your woman gods, your money gods, but remember this, that the only one who deserves to be worshipped is him, Allah. That is the national anthem of the Muslims, wherever they live. And when they hear this call, they can hearken to the call without having to ask. Is it an RC or a DRC? In my country, it means RC means Roman Catholic, or DRC means Dutch Reformed Church, the guy who's ruling us. I said, now that's a call to prayer. If you like, sir, we can go down and witness a Muslim at prayer. He said, did I do that hours? I said, of course, sir. My people are very tolerant, and they are. They're very hospitable. They love to see visitors coming to the mosque. It's giving us an opportunity of explaining to them what Islam stands for. So we walked out to the mosque. Please take off your shoes. So while they're taking off the shoes, I start a conversation. I said, do you know why you take off your shoes, sir? He says, no. I said, you remember when Moses was on Mount Sinai, God spoke to him. And he said, draw not nigh hither. Put off thy shoes, off thy feet, for the place where thou standest is holy ground. This is what, in respect of that commandment, we Muslims, we take off our shoes. Before we go into pray, we make ablution. We wash ourselves. The hands, the feet, the nostrils, the nape of the neck, gagging the mouth, brushing the teeth, This a Muslim does 5 times a day, every day of the year. Purely from the hygienic point of view, no one is going to find fault with a man washing himself 5 times a day. It's a good hygienic practice. So they say yes. I say it also serves certain psychological purposes. Mentally, it's preparing the person for prayer. We are washing not because we are dirty. We are washing because we're going to stand before Allah. And thirdly, this is also another commandment given by God Almighty to the Holy Prophet Moses in the book of Exodus. That is the second book of the Bible. It is written, and Moses and Aaron and their sons washed their hands and their feet thereat. When they went into the tent of the congregation, they washed as the Lord commanded Moses. So said, you Muslims are still fulfilling another biblical commandment. Though we haven't got the label of a Jew, not yet that of a Christian, yet in all humility we claim that we are more Jews than the Jews and more Christians than the Christians. In this, that we are trying to follow in the footsteps of the prophets. I said, this is how all the prophets prayed. So what? I said, all the prophets, this is how they prayed. If you know your book, your own Holy Bible, it tells us. And Abraham fell on his face and prayed to God. And Moses and Aaron fell on his face, fell on the face and prayed to God. And Joshua fell on his face and prayed to God. When we come to the New Testament, we read that was his last days on earth, Jesus Christ. He went to the Garden of Gethsemane with the disciples. And he said, wait and watch. Keep guard. Because the Jews were after his life. And he went a little further and fell on his face and prayed to God. I'm asking, how does a man fall on his face and pray? Except with the way we Muslims do. Can a circus acrobat do any better than that? No, the man stands. He knows he can't. This is the only way that Moses and Abraham and Jesus and Muhammad, this is how they did it. He says, do that, he said. You are more Jewish than the Jew. I said, yes. Back home, after Salat, we sit down for tea and samosa. So I start. I'm telling the boss. I said, have you seen the Quran, sir? He says, no. Say, have you got an English translation? I said, yes, sir. So I said, I had this same Quran in 3 volumes. Because the paper that was used in India was cheaper paper, so it was very bulky, so they had to make it in 3 sections. Same, page for page same, but more bulky because of the paper. So I gave one volume between one husband and wife. Mr. and Mrs. Daniels was the name I was looking for. Mr. and Mrs. Daniels, another to the Argentinian couple, and the last one with the index to my boss. So they started. Just seeing this, I was here. So I'm telling my boss, I said, excuse me, sir, at the back of the book, there is an index. Why don't you see what it says about Moses? It's something nearest and dearest to his heart. If you talk to the Christian, talk about Jesus. I said, look, just see what it says about Jesus, his birth, chapter 3, verse 42. Let him read, let her read. Let Allah do the talking. Can you find a better advocate than Allah himself? Let him do the talking. So Moses, so he opens Moses. I said, sir, any of those headings, if you want to check up actually what it says, have a look. So he opens something, he opens somewhere else. Then he looks at me. I was just sitting watching. He said, "Did that? This book is very funny." The Quran. I said, "What's funny about it, sir?" This is how I speak and he speaks. "Did that? This book is very funny." So what's funny about it, sir? He said, "You see, this book seems to be speaking in our favor. But you people are all against us." I said, "That is true, sir. That is true. You see, sir, the Egyptians, they were an idolatrous people. They were pagans. They set hard tasks for your people. They killed your sons and they kept your daughters alive. You know why? So they can use them when they grow up. There was also in that mercy was a bitter sting. You know, as your daughter is growing, the Egyptian is watching.